Hello, I'm Jared Benz, an ISV Architect Evangelist with Microsoft, and today I'll be talking about creating lookless controls for WPF and Silverlight. This session builds on a previous session called Creating Skins for WPF and Silverlight, and if you haven't seen that session yet, I highly recommend you take a break and watch that session first. So what do we mean by lookless controls? A lookless control is a control whose user interaction has been completely separated from the control logic. Lookless controls are skinnable controls. And in fact, all WPF and Silverlight controls are considered lookless controls. Lookless does not mean that a control has no appearance at all. Instead, the control supplies a default appearance that can be replaced entirely without breaking the functionality of the control. In WPF and Silverlight, there are two control types, user controls and custom controls. You're probably already familiar with user controls, and they're the way we've been building controls for some time. User controls, or composite controls, are generally made up of several other child controls. This configuration is set in stone when the control library is compiled, and it never changes from that point forward. Custom controls try very hard to separate logic from child controls to achieve this lookless functionality. But before we get to custom controls, let's spend a few minutes talking about user controls. Here I've got a WPF solution in Blend, although everything I'm talking about today works equally as well in Silverlight. I have a WPF application and a WPF control library. Inside of the control library, I have two versions of a control that will allow us to edit address information. The first version of the control is a user control, and the second, a custom control. Let's take a look at the user control. The first thing you'll notice is that the user control is made up of two files. An address user control.xaml and an address user control.xaml.cs. The CS file contains our logic, and the XAML file contains our artwork and child controls. Here we see that the control is made up of a grid and several child controls, text blocks that function as labels, and text boxes that serve for input. Notice that each of these text boxes are named so that they can be accessed in the code behind. There's also a combo box, which we'll talk more about in a moment. Now let's take a look at our code. First thing I'd like to point out is this local variable called allStates. This variable contains a listing of all the two-letter state codes that'll be loaded into the combo box. In fact, here's the line where we make the assignment. In addition, notice the multiple .NET property wrappers around the text boxes. Line 1, line 2, city, and so forth. These properties help isolate the consuming application from the way that the control functions internally. However, because these properties use the text box variables themselves, it's quite possible that the control developer might take a dependency on the way those controls work. In addition, because these properties are regular .NET properties and not dependency properties, these values can't participate in WPF data binding or animations. But let's see this control at work. I'll open up my toolbox and choose Address User Control. And now let's draw one onto our window. Notice in my property window, we have the property names we expect. And if I supply values, they'll show up on the Blend artboard. However, as I mentioned, since these properties are not dependency properties, we cannot data bind these values. In addition, because this is a user control and not a custom control, the contents of the control cannot be changed in any way. If we edit the template, you'll notice the only elements we can change are a border and a content presenter. Showing and hiding the content presenter shows and hides all child controls. Now that we've seen the user control, let's compare and contrast this with the custom control. In a user control, all child controls are named and are wrapped in public properties. This isn't a requirement of user controls, But it's very common for developers that are new to WPF to start developing controls in this way. Because classic user controls or composite controls use general .NET properties, they're not usually able to participate in data binding. And because user controls by their very nature are sealed, the only customization options a consumer has is to change public properties. There's no ability to change the layout of child controls or any other visual aspect of the control. In custom controls, however, child controls are usually not named and instead are bound to dependency properties. Because dependency properties are used, custom controls are able to participate in WPF and Silverlight data binding. And finally, with custom controls, the child elements are separated out into a default style. This allows the consumer of a control to provide a unique layout and unique visual style for every instance of that control. So let's take a look at custom controls. The first thing you'll notice about a custom control is that it has no XAML file of the same name. That's because the artwork and child elements for the control have been moved into a style that lives in generic.xaml. We'll take a look at this style in a moment, but first let's spend a few minutes looking at the code. First change you'll probably notice is this method here, default style key property dot override metadata. This line tells the WPF and Silverlight runtime that there's no XAML file of the same name. Instead, the runtime should load a style by the same name. This line is what primarily allows an application to change the appearance and layout of this control outside of the control library. Next, you'll notice that each generic.NET property has been converted instead to a dependency property. And finally, I want to point out that the collection of state codes has also been exposed as an observable collection of string. This would allow the listing of states to be replaced or even filtered dynamically at runtime. Now let's take a look at our style. You'll notice that the style looks empty here, and if you watch the skins for WPF and Silverlight recording, you'll recall that this is because styles apply to the parent element and not to child controls. To edit the child controls, we actually need to edit the template within the style. Here again, we have the same basic layout, and it's important to point out that because I'm editing this style in generic.xaml, I'm editing the default appearance for this control. This appearance will be used when the control is first added to a screen, but nothing keeps the consumer from completely replacing everything you see in this template. We have the same text box labels as we did before, but notice that now our text boxes are no longer named. Instead, notice that the border around the field and the colored dot next to it indicate that a binding is taking place. And in fact, if you recall from our skins and template discussion, the orange color indicates a template binding. If we take a look at this binding, you'll see this control is bound to line 1. Line 1 is a template property that was inherited from the address custom control. The same is true for other text boxes like city. Again, a template binding, this time to the template property of city. The combo box is very similar, but in this case, we need to bind to a listing of all available states, as well as the current state. Item source points at a template binding to all states, and selected item points at a template binding of state. So let's scope up out of our default style, or rather our default template, and now let's scope out of our default style. And let's go ahead and add our custom control to the application. I've already removed the user control version from our screen, so let's go ahead and add the custom control version. The custom control version looks almost identical to the user control version, but remember what we're seeing here is the default style and default template. I can edit the address information like before. and the values show up on the screen. However, now that these values are dependency properties, I could also choose to data bind any of these values in my application. In addition, now that my control supports styles and templates, I have the ability to change its visual appearance within my application. Again, I want to point out what I'm doing here is editing a copy of the default style and default template. That's because I'm now in the application and not in the control library. This means I'll be making changes for my application and not changes to the control definition itself. Now notice that I've got the same controls as I did before, but this time I'm in my application and not in the control library. Blend created a copy of the default style in my application so that I can edit it and make changes. First, let's set a background color on our grid. We'll make it a nice blue gradient. And to show the flexibility, let's change the entire layout. Now, because each of these controls are using data binding, I can make some other fairly dramatic changes as well. For example, on line 1 of our address, let's turn on spell checking. And just to show that I have no dependency on any particular control at all, let's remove the state combo box and instead replace it with a text box. The only thing I need to do, of course, is make sure that my bindings are correct. So I'll choose template binding, state. Now we can scope out of editing our template. And here we are in the application with a very customized version of the address control. Let's go ahead and edit this and see it still function. Now, to show that I only created a new style for this control in my application, I'm going to go ahead and remove this version and create a new instance of the address control. Provide a few values. And just for fun, we can apply that style again. In fact, before I started this screencast, I had a few moments to create an even more appealing style, and that style is stored in app.xaml. Let's go ahead and apply that. And let's go ahead and run the application. So as you can see, the same control, same functionality, just an entirely different visual style. So I hope this session, along with the WPF and Silverlight skinning session, will have you creating custom controls in no time. Thanks for watching.